I think it was William Wilberforce who had two things he pushed in Europe, especially in Great Britain. He pushed the abolishment of slavery, and he pushed for a genteel, polite society, which is very, very interesting. We're going to talk today about giving your children the keys to doors, and the keys to doors are teaching them to be polite.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and we're going through these 30 imperatives of parenting, things you absolutely must know and teach to your child. We're about halfway down the list, and if you've missed any of them, even program number one that covers all 30 of them in one short 15-minute program, you can hear them all again for free online at parentingonpurpose.org. And we've done a lot of practical things, time and money management, even discipline areas like not being the consequence, how to allow your child to learn from their failures. But today we're talking about politeness.
Well, we've been teaching people things that weren't automatic in many respects. It was not automatic in the culture of the past. You had your kids with you all the time. They worked for you on the farm or wherever, or with the herd. And so there were just some things that happened that aren't happening anymore unless we're intentional, unless we're looking at these imperatives, these things that must happen. But let me give you a for instance. I was 16 years old in Washington, D.C., and I rode my bike or walked my bike, I can't remember which, a couple of miles from my house to put air in the tires at a gas station at Kenwood Shell on River Road in Bethesda, Maryland. And I'm out there putting air in the tires of my bike, and an older gentleman comes out and says, "Son, can I help you?" And I said, "No, thank you, sir." And he said, "I beg your pardon." And I said, "No, thank you, sir." And so I finished putting the air in my tires, and he's just sitting there watching me, and he said, "Can you come talk to me for a minute?" And I said, "Sure." And he said, "Do you mind if I have your home phone number?" And I thought, "Oh my goodness, I've broken something somewhere." He takes my home phone number, and on the outside, he didn't take me in the office, on the outside phone booth, he calls home, and he asks my name, and he says to my dad, "I've got your son Bobby here, and I'm getting ready to offer him a job. I just want to get your permission." And my dad, wondering what's going on, hops in the car. "I'll be right there." And my dad comes down, and they go into the office, and I'm out there just waiting with my bike, wondering what's going on. And my dad comes out laughing, and he says, "You go on in and talk to him. His name is Mr. Vennett." So I go in and talk to him, and he offers me a job for the summer coming up. And I said, "Wow, that would be great. Can I ask you how I got the job?" And he said, "The words, 'No, thank you, sir,' got you the job." I worked for that man after my junior year of high school, senior of high school, all through undergraduate in the summers, all summers, and in undergraduate every Christmas holiday.
Wow.
"No, thank you, sir." I think we're missing something with our kids. We're teaching them to be aggressive. We're teaching them to take care of yourself. We're teaching them to be assertive, and we're teaching them a lot of the wrong things rather than "No, thank you, sir." When there was a big soccer game in Roby's life, he was about 12. I can't remember. There's some debate on exactly how old he was, and it was a major game, and all of a sudden, Roby, who's a forward, very aggressive forward, but he does what you tell him to do. If you're on the sidelines and the coach tells him to move this way, he does it. He understands authority, and all of a sudden, Roby's back in the goal. They're getting killed, and Roby's back in the goal. The coach moved him back to play goalie, and end of the game, the coach comes over to the two of us and says, "I imagine you're wondering why I put Roby back in the goalie." And I said, "Yeah, pretty much. I think I know, but tell us." And he said, "Because he listens to me." Mm. And the goalie that was there didn't listen. Mm. And he was killing us because he was doing it his way, acting like he couldn't hear me. And so we were done. You put Roby there and he's teachable. And that's a very key word. He's teachable. Wow. He does what you tell him to do. I want my children to go out the door with opportunities. I want my children to go out the door knowing how to handle adults. I want my children to go out the door knowing how to be polite. And it's a fine line between obedience. Some kids can find themselves to be obedient to a fault. When do you question authority? And those are things we need to talk with our children about. But opening the doors, the keys to the kingdom in some respects are yes, sir, no, sir, looking people in the eye, shaking hands. And it's very hard to teach a child to do that because their inclination is to be sloppy in that area and to look down and forget it and not make eye contact and not want to do it. Mm-hmm. And teaching them. And then all of a sudden, one day they realize, wow, that door got opened. Mm-hmm. It's amazing that there is a company, in fact, the cup just walked out of here, called Chick-fil-A, that has done an amazing job. And one of the things they've done an amazing job is people teaching their employees to be so gracious that they're now teaching other ministries and companies how to teach their employees to be so gracious.
Wow.
That, you know, I love their chicken, but I think part of the reason I go there is they're nice to you.
They treat you good.
Yes, they're polite. They're unbelievable. So I think it's very, very important that we get that. And I marvel sometimes at how parents don't get that this is important. important mm-hmm. and don't require their children to do this.
Well, I think a lot of even society is about defending yourself and don't get caught doing things. And if you do, you know, you can't be wrong because if you're wrong, it's embarrassing. So we somehow teach that to our kids even when we're not aware of it. I mean, if you're wrong on the order, or how do you treat people if they got your fast food order wrong? You know, things like that, kids are watching and you're automatically teaching them that when the moment happens.
Absolutely. Our example is everything. And for me to say, oh, you know what, this isn't what I want, but I know it's what I order because the wrong thing came out of my mouth or whatever it is. You're not old enough to remember Richard Nixon, but I would imagine the first time he was accused of Watergate, if he would have just said, you know, you're right. We would have had a man who didn't dig such a hole for himself that he had to leave office. He had to walk away because the lie got bigger and bigger and bigger. Part of this is part of this graciousness thing. And you went down a different road I hadn't even thought about was, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? But this whole thing in the handling of other people by serving other people rather than trying to manipulate other people or overpower other people.
You get what you want. It seems it's always what we want, and don't be wrong and don't be embarrassed.
But it's so short term.
Yeah.
Getting what you want on the short term, but missing what you really want in the long term. And this whole humility thing, helping my children grow up with the understanding of you don't handle people for this one deal. You get around people, help people, serve people. Mm-hmm. But when you teach people to get what you want, and when you teach your children to be assertive and you're empowered to go get what you want, rather than you're really empowered to be humble in this journey here. But I like the route you took, Ruthie, because much of it is what our children see us do in those difficult times and how they see us handle other people.
Mm-hmm. And there is that balance of being humble, but also being, you know, somewhat confident and being able to just know who you are and be confident of that, but also being humble and then respecting authority, but knowing when to question authority too. I mean, this is like an incredible balance act we have to teach.
It's a balance act and erring to the side of humility. You know, you and I have a friend named Mark Davis. He's one of the most humble men I know. Mm-hmm. And when you interact with Mark Davis for the first time, I remember the first time I interacted with Mark Davis, I thought, is this the Mark Davis I've heard about? Because he doesn't act like the Mark Davis you've heard about. This man is very, very brilliant, but he really doesn't ever have to prove it. And he lets you talk and he's very humble in the process and he's very servant oriented. What can I do for you? And you find him at Calvary Chapel events in the background, helping and making sure the coffee's right. And he's the guy that runs the show, but he's making sure the coffee's right. And it has been such a testimony to me on servant leadership and raising a child to learn to say, thank you. I'm watching my daughter work with my grandson and teaching him to say please when he wants something and teaching him to say thank you when he gets the cookie that he wanted. And we were at a harvest party last night at New Testament Baptist Church, and the whole gig was very cool because it was about 60 trunks or the back of SUVs with candy and costumes and called Trunk or Treat, which it was a first for me. And teaching little Reuben to have to go up and say please and thank you at every single trunk.
And he's how old?
He's 2.5.
Oh my gosh.
A little over 2.5.
So
but,
cute.
But it was, you realized 60 to 70 times of doing this was stamping it home that it, for him, it was the candy, me, it was the training. Mm-hmm. I realized this is gold right here. Mm-hmm. Absolute gold. Mm-hmm. Please, candy, please. And then getting to take his little hand some candy and then stopping when he can't go. Do you say what you're supposed to say? Thank you for the candy.
Aww.
And next car. So it's stamped home. I mean, I'm sure he's saying for toothpaste now, thank you for the candy. I mean, it's
thank you, mommy, for bathing me.
Yes. No, it's thank you for candy. He's got that phrase
down. Right.
But teaching our children to do that, and we're forgetting that. And I think we're forgetting that because we don't do that because maybe we weren't taught that. Mm-hmm. And yet you wonder. You automatically, and this isn't the reason to do it. Let me just rephrase this. This isn't the reason. The motive behind doing this is because it's the right thing to do. William Wilberforce had come to the realization that England had become a very rude place, and Parliament had become an unbelievably rude place at yelling and screaming and ugly and whatever. And he had these two things. He did change the globe with his battle against slavery. And he got punished and beaten up more than once. The movie was nice, Amazing Grace. But I got to tell you, the book, the biography of William Wilberforce, Amazing Grace, was unbelievable. And people losing their plantations because they couldn't imagine not having slaves. And the whole thing was money motivated. But when the United Kingdom did this, which was all across the globe, it just spread everywhere. But he was also passionate about graciousness. Just graciousness.
Being nice.
Yes. could we not be gracious, especially those of us that are believers? And sometimes it's very, very difficult to separate the Christian community from the non-Christian community. Yeah. I don't think I really expect my non-Christian friends to be polite in intensity. They're pagans. But what breaks your heart is, and you could probably say this too, I have some pagan friends that are more gracious
Absolutely.
Than some of the Christian people I know. It's the story of that guy that is behind someone at a light and she doesn't see the light right away and he is on his horn. It's just irate that this person is still texting and doesn't see the light and he's on his horn and he's got the fish thing on the back of his car and the cop pulls him over. He didn't realize the third car in the run was a cop who was behind him watching him just honk and honk and honk and honk. And the cop pulls him over, mystified at seeing his arms flailing in the air, so furious at this woman who doesn't pull off exactly when the light turns green and asks for his thing. And the officer says, can I see your license and registration? And the man says, what did I do? And he's still a little irate, trying to calm down in front of the cop. And the cop says, you know, you really didn't do anything, but you had an ichthus on the back of your car. And I was just curious. I thought you were a Christian. Hmm. And then I watched the way you function.
Yes.
It's the Francis of Assisi's quote, share the gospel at all times when necessary, use words.
Mm-hmm.
Our quest to teach our children to be gracious, to teach our children to be polite, because they should, not because it opens doors, but I guarantee you it opens doors to the world out there.
And it's a challenge to teach these kids.
It's a challenge to be it, first of all.
True, true. Okay, so then what happens if you have, let's start even earlier, you have the sort of misfit four-year-old who just is strong-willed. You can't imagine why this child came out the way this child came out and does not obey your orders and is not polite even as much as you try to teach him. What do you do?
Winston Churchill, you never quit, never quit, never quit. If you have that very focused child, and especially if it's a female child, because female childs are more verbal. Mm-hmm. Boy childs tend to throw things. Female childs tend to have these wild, out-of-control verbal things, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a flaw in your whole gender, Ruthie. Let's just face it.
Well,
major flaw.
We'll have to have a whole program.
Yes, we'll move on. I will never have that program. I'll never get out of the building.
We'll get
here.
A couple of helpers
yes,
here.
And I'll be sleeping on the couch at home. So I'm leaving that alone. But I think that what we assume is, okay, that's just this child, but Jesus will accept you the way you are. He won't keep you the way you are. Mm-hmm. And part of the vessel to change that is us. You know, somebody emailed me the other day. What if you like playing games with your children? What if you have a child who can't play games? They have temper tantrums when they lose the game. Mm-hmm. Then that's the child you need to play the games with.
Mm-hmm.
Our job is to prepare them to go out, mm-hmm. but they're children. And so continue to help that child when they just lose it verbally to stop and be polite. You need to come back here.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be polite. And no, it's a long process. But when you see the effort to go crazy and say, Tori, that was awesome what you just did there, honey. Well, I know you are, but you controlled you. It's impulse control. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And some of the world is in you. And there's that internal struggle and internal battle. But I can do all things with the help of Christ. But Paul gives us permission and says, some of the things I don't want to do, I just end up doing anyway. And it's this ongoing battle, but it's very, very important. But Tori, I'm not just doing this because I'm your parent. I'm doing this also because it will open or slam doors for you.
Mm-hmm.
And your boss doesn't want to see that response.
Mm-hmm.
Your first boss, your teacher, I mean, let's face it, for school teachers that are listening to this, the reality is there are some kids you actually like teaching because they're polite. And there are some kids you're actually, when you read the rolls in the morning and they're not here, you say a silent praise God, he's sick, because he's a nightmare. I want to raise the child that people want around them. I want to raise the child that's polite. Here's the deal. I want to raise the child that when a friend of mine has 3 extra tickets to the Dolphin game and says to his 14-year-old, you can invite 3 of your friends. I want him to say, but I think one of them should be Roby. Invite Roby rather than, you know, the last time you invited Roby, that wasn't fun and he wasn't polite, so he's off the list. I want people to want to invest in my children. I want you to want my children at your house. That takes work, especially with that child who finds it difficult to say thank you, finds it difficult to be polite. So the first thing we have to decide is this number 15 on our imperatives, teach your child to say please, thank you, yes sir, no sir, and make eye contact. For we all have that one child that it's very difficult. It's worth the effort. They will thank you later on.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. We continue our list of the 30 imperatives of parenting. We hope you join us tomorrow as we cover number 16. Now, if you want to hear today's program again or search for any of the other points that we've already covered, some of them we've done entire week series based on one of these points. You can hear them all for free. Sign up to get them even automatically at parentingonpurpose.org. If you want to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries and the children's homes that you can support, or even resources online that you can purchase, and all the proceeds go to support the children's homes, that's at shfm.org. We hope you'll join us tomorrow as we continue our list of the 30 imperatives of parenting here on Parenting on Purpose.